Hello and welcome to this module 2 of the UWP Code Lab from Build 2016. I'm Andy Wigley, a technical evangelist, and I'm going to take you through module 2 now, which is about more personal computing. So, you know, Windows 10 really is the first, is a new era in more personal computing. And we are trying to create apps or giving the ability to create apps that interact with users in more interesting, more human, more natural ways through speech, touch, pen and the like. So in this module, we're going to explore a few of those, primarily about adding inking support. And then we're going to also provide speech integration through Cortana. And we're going to build an interactive notification that enables direct user actions. So without delay, we're going to get straight into exercise one, which is all about adding inking support. So we're going to add notes recorded using inking. The app has already been set up for inking on photos. We're going to use a preview of the Redstone ink toolbar, which is not the finished version. It's an early preview, but give you a flavor of what it's like to work with that. And then we're going to look at also at handwriting recognition. So to get started, we open, if you downloaded all the, you cloned the repo or downloaded all the contents of the UWP workshop repo, then you will have a module 2 begin solution. So let's go and open that up in Visual Studio. So file, open, project solution. And we're going to navigate to build 2016, module 2, the begin, Microsoft Labs.sites to see, and open up that solution. Okay. So here's our solution explorer. Let's just pin that up there. This is get that dock there. This is the same as the closing solution from module 1. So the first thing you have to do with any of these, if you downloaded it, it will default to any CPU. You need to change that to x86 up at the top there. And then we can just run it just to make sure that you can build it straight off and run the starter solution, which, like I said, is pretty much, with a few changes, the finished version from module 1. So it's going to pull in a load of NuGet packages and the like. Ignore those warnings that you can see there. And hopefully, though, we get a clean build, as we are. And here's our app. And with our splash screen, and we're going to, this is, we first thing, we're now, one thing we have added is that you get this, it's going to use your location. So we've now added in a request to access your location. You can change that in the settings app. So you have to do that on a first install. And now we've got our application up and running. I've got our three sites, which I've selected from my sites, which I did in module 1. So we're going to enable, when you go into, you know, like Golden Gate Bridge and this sort of thing, you get the picture. If you scroll down, then you've got a gallery of pictures. You can look at different ones. And there's this notes area down here, which you can kind of type stuff in, sort of great place or something. And that's kind of, okay, that's one way of doing it. You could even spell it right. There we go, great place. Now, wouldn't it be nice with a tablet to have the ability to use handwriting and write stuff in or draw a little picture and that kind of stuff? So we're going to enable that capability in this application now. And we're going to get started by adding a simple ink canvas to that notes field, which will enable it for allowing it's accepting ink input. So close the app. And we're going to go off into our project. Collapse that background task on down. We'll need that later on. So ignore all these red squiggles. It's once you've done it, you sometimes have to build again to get it to catch up with things. And it's complaining about a lot of stuff it shouldn't be complaining about, frankly. But this is a pre-release of the Visual Studio Update 2. It's a release candidate. So there's still a few little things that will be fixed in the final one. And I usually find, actually, if it's still, they still don't disappear after you've done all that. You can simply close the solution and reopen it, and it will just be just fine. So let's just open up. Oh, hang on. Well, no, I'm in tablet. Oh no, here we go. Visual Studio 2015. Let's go pick the top one, which will be the one we just opened. and that will resolve all of those red squiggles, which makes it look like things are broken. Actually, they're not. If you've done a clean install, you're in a good place. Like I said, we're going to add a simple ink canvas to the notes field. Just wait for Visual Studio to get going again. Here we go, loading in our solution. And we're going to start by, in our main project, incidentally, I didn't mention this first one. We've got a Sites to See library, which has got our data access layer. The reason why it's a separate library is because we will be, in this module, calling that logic from a background task. So that Sites to See library bit is referenced both from our main project, which is this guy, and also from the background tasks thing. So in order to add our ink canvas, we need to go to our site detail page, which is in the views. So we're going to work on the site detail page mainly on this. Double click on that and open it up. And there is a comment in here, down in the XAML. I'm going to just put the designer up the top there. I'm not interested in that. And down near the bottom, we're looking for a comment that says, if I can find it. And if you can't find it, here we go, M2 Notes Ink Canvas. You can always do a Control F and search for it. Not even that one. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I can't find it, so I'm going to do a Control F. And the one we're looking for is M2 Enable Ink. Enable Ink button. There we go. It's positioning it under what this is the main grid. Close that now, we've found it. The main grid content area, it's underneath the text block where the notes goes, and we can just copy that, double click on it, and then paste it underneath, and then hit tab, and that expands out, and we've got a new button called ink button on there, which is going to enable the visibility of switched on a property we've added to our view model class called isNotesInking. So when we're in inking things, it will be hidden, but other than that, when you click on it, it will in turn on inking for the notes section. So that's that button. Then we need to switch to the corresponding enable inking property. So when this is clicked on, then we go to this viewmodel.enableInk. We need to add that to our view model. So open up in Solution Explorer, view models. We need to work on the site detail page view model, which is the logic, the view model for this particular page. And down here, search down, you'll find a comment to right at the bottom, M2 enable ink. So you can just type in M2_enableInk and hit tab. And all we've done is a method that can be called is data bound to that button we've just added in the UI. That when you click on it, it turns isNotesInking property to true. So this is switching our UI to inking mode. All right. Now then, we need to return to our site detail page. And we now need to add in the notes ink canvas, which is just a little bit further down where we were before. So we can copy that on there, paste it in, and then we can hit tab and it will expand that snippet. And you'll notice here, we've added a grid. Sort out the alignment there. We've added a grid, and its visibility is bound to whether we are note inking or not, obviously. And it overlays, it's in the same area as the main grid area where with typed inks go. But the main control of interest is this ink canvas on it. This is the control. All you need to do is put one of those onto your UI and size it accordingly, and that area then becomes available for ink. We now need to go to the code behind for this page. Two ways of doing that. You can simply expand, and then, not that one, on the views where we are currently, site detail page here. And you can double click on that, or you can right click on the designer here and say view code. So we're going to the code behind for the site detail page, sitedetailpage.xaml.cs. And we need to add in, after the initialized component in the constructor, so find the constructor, which is up near the top here. We need to add in M2 notes input. So we're going to add in notes inputs in here. And this snippet sets for our ink presenter the input device types that our inking is going to allow. We're going to support mouse, pen, or touch for inking input, all of those. So you can choose which input methods you support in your own apps. And with that, we can now run it and see how that goes. Compile it out. And there we go. Now it's registering the application. Deployment's complete. And here we go. We're running it now. So we now need to go to any of the sites in our application. Such as the Golden Gate Bridge. And scroll down to the notes section. And now when you hit our button here, this is the ink button, enable inking that we just added. Now we're into an inking section, and you can use your finger or mouse, or if you've got a stylus, to draw a nice picture. There we go. Great artwork. Now, by default, that's all you can do. It's just like it's a black pen, effectively, is the default input. So that's all right. Default pen, a simple black line. But haven't got any logic to save that inking to a file so that we can restore it when you run it again later. And we haven't got an ink toolbar to enable you to change the pen color, thickness, or anything. So we're going to add saving and clearing, and we are going to add that ink toolbar. All right, close the app. Right, the next thing is this new, we've got a new ink bar in Redstone, which is a great new ink toolbar, which has got a great loads of new features, looks much better than what we had before. And we're going to now add that ink toolbar into this application, so that you can actually get an experience. It's not the final one, it's a preview, which we had early access to, so they're still building, refining it for the full Redstone release that will happen later this year. So this is a preview that we've included in this lab, which you need to install. If you're doing this after the after build, the installation for the, let me just show you where it is, the vZix for this thing, if you go into your, where you've installed the, pulled the stuff down from our repo, go into source, setup, extension SDKs, there is an ink toolbar preview.vZix. You can double click on that. We get this, I'm already installed on here, but then if you haven't got it installed, that will install that on your system. So we've got, that ready to use on my system here, and we're now going to start making use of it. So we need to add in one of these ink toolbars. And we're going to work in sitedetailpage.xaml. And just above where you were working before, there's a prompt of where you want to put the ink toolbar in. Paste it in, hit tab, and here we are. We've got our ink toolbar preview, an instance of our ink toolbar. We're giving it a name. We are, we've bound it. This is the target ink canvas, is bound to our notes ink canvas, the one we just added before, that's just below here. Here's our notes ink canvas. So it's automatically hooked up to that guy. And we've got a button we're going to add later that's commented out. And other than that, we've added custom buttons to it to enable our save button and our undo button. So we're going to add a bit more functionality, which we've added to our ink toolbar. And we now need to add some logic to for these save and undo buttons. So again, go back to our code behind, the sitedetailpage.xaml.cs. And we need to do a couple of things in there. We got to go to the region notes ink toolbar, which is down here, this notes ink toolbar region, expand that out. And in there, it wants us to put the M2 underscore save undo. Select it from the there, and there we are. This is our logic to save ink by ink strokes to a file. There's a lot of stuff here that basically the important thing is we get a file, a storage file reference. We are then opening it for read write. And then we get from our notes ink canvas, the ink presenter, the stroke container, we save the contents, all the ink strokes into that file, and then we save it away in our view model. There's a lot of logic here underneath the scenes that's saving it into our underlying data model. But the important stuff here is this stroke container saving the ink strokes. And then in an undo button, you can simply clear all the ink strokes from our stroke container. And this will erase any inking from the current ink canvas. So that's the save and undo. We need to also go into the to set up our notes to load them back in with stores ink that has been previously saved to the site. So this one we need to go up to looking for a method called setup notes ink async. So you can find that in the drop down on the right here. Setup notes ink async. Here it is, which is where we need to put in our M2 underscore setup notes snippet. So this is the logic. If the current site has got inking, then if we've got an ink file that we've saved for this site in our data model, then we can just use our ink presenter stroke container and load the contents of that file back from that file. So this is the opposite of the save. This is the restore to get our ink strokes back into our particular model. All right, so now if we build and run the app, then our notes capability, our inking area, has grown a lot more functionality. So we will have an ink toolbar, and we will have the ability to save and restore our ink strokes into a file and restore them back when we go back into that site again. So just let that build. And also, incidentally, also in this sample, while we're waiting for that to build, we've added the capability to annotate pictures in this with ink as well. We haven't got time to go into that, but it uses obviously similar techniques to the ones we've just shown you for the notes area. So we can leave you to explore those within the sample in your own time. Loading our trip. Here we go, there's our trip up there. And now we can start let's go and look at the Alcatraz. Here's our image. And we can go down here, we can start, now when we enable notes, now we've got an ink toolbar up here. So you can actually start changing the color and the width. And then we can start drawing with that. We can change the color again, we can change it to blue and make it a bit thinner. And then we can start doing this kind of stuff. We can erase. It's just every time you take the eraser over there, or we can go back to the pen, and we could draw some more. And then we can save it to a file. And then we can go back. We can go to Alcatraz and scroll down. And of course, our ink notes are all there. We can close the app and then restart it. And then our notes have been persisted to an actual storage file. So when we go back into Alcatraz, we can get those note strokes back. I think my system here must be downloading a Windows 10 update or something. Suddenly started going a little bit slowly. So that should build and deploy in just a moment. I should have just started it from the start menu and then avoided the build stage. Live and learn. And the way that the data model works, we don't dive deeply into that in this workshop, but it's storing files away for any ink annotations that you are creating for a site. It stores a unique file for each of those sites and stores them away in a physical file. So here we go, loading our trip up, and then we go off back to our Alcatraz, and there's our ink annotations have been pulled back in from that file. And you can erase it by hitting the cross, and it will just delete all those. And like I said, we have actually got on here as well, you can add any annotations to pictures as well. So, you know, that's capabilities being added to this application. All right, next. Wouldn't it be nice if we could actually write some text in here? So let's go to a green pen, a narrow green pen. And, you know, you could write, hello. I'm using a mouse here, which is not easy. It's much easier with, with a finger, actually. So you can use different ways of inputting ink. With a stylus, of course, it's a fantastic experience. I should have brought my, I've got a stylus, actually, but I not for this particular monitor. So then we can, wouldn't it be nice if we had the ability to recognize that handwriting and turn it into text and store it in the text notes field. So task three of this exercise is to add that capability to this as well. So close the app. And now we are going to go back to the site detail page.xaml, the UI for this page. And you see this in the ink toolbar where we added this stuff before. Just select that and go up onto your taskbar here and hit that little uncomment the selected lines up on the toolbar. And now we're bringing in this next button, which is to try the ink recognition. It's called the, we need to, when the ink is recognized, we want to also put up a little dialogue that's going to allow the user to approve or reject the results of the recognition. So we're going to, thank you, Barry's added me one. Okay. That'll help. Thank you. That'll make this next bit of it. Thanks, Barry. Who's at the back there doing all the hard work on this. We're now going to add in a dialogue to this. So scroll down to the bottom of this page. And there's a prompt down here, which is the M2 Ink Reco dialogue. So we can just copy that. Expand that out. We've now got a content dialogue which we are going to invoke. It's just sitting there. It will sit there. It's in our XAML tree. It's just got a stack panel and a text box on it and some buttons. It's also got a method called inkrecodialogopen. So we're now going to add the code behind to handle this situation. So we need to add into our code, our site detail page code behind. SiteDetailPage.xaml.cs. Open up that. Okay, and we need to go up in the constructor, above the constructor, we need to declare an ink recognizer. So here's the insert the M2 recognizer snippet here. So we've got a prompt where it needs to go. _ recognizers. Expand that out. It's all this is. It's a simple, it declares an ink recognizer container object. Called with a name of _ ink recognizer container. A little bit further down here, we need to, under in the constructor there, we need to set that up. So we go m2_ setup recognizers, where we simply new that up. And then we need to go down to, scroll down to the region ink recognition. So here we are, there's a region a little bit further down called ink recognition. And in there, we need to add the methods to actually perform the recognition. So, I did the wrong one there. Recognizer methods. Hit tab. There we go. And this one is a method called try OCR. I think that's not quite right. It should be called try ink reco. Let me just check. I think I might have a slight error in my snippets here. So the button that invokes that was up here in our ink toolbar. This is one, yeah, the click was try ink reco, so I've got a slight error in my snippet, which I will fix for the later versions of the content. So There we are. Try Inc. Reco. So that will actually match that. And the so that is actually what is going to show our Inc. Reco dialog, and it will show that Inc. Reco dialog up on the screen. So then we need to have, there's a method down here called Inc. Reco dialog opened. So inside there, we need to add the code that actually does the recognition. So that one is the onRecognize one. So what this does, it calls, it gets the strokes from the stroke container, and it uses our Inc. Recognizer container to recognize those the stroke container notes. So if there are some strokes, then we recognize it. And if we get some results, then we format them as a string and show it on our dialog. And then the user can then say, yeah, that's right, or no, that's no good. So that's what that method is doing. So now we can run it. And with this version now, we'll be able to enter in written notes and to turn them to actual recognized text. When it builds, we'll get there in a minute. So, and these kind of features are a part of our more personal computing to allow people to interact with computing devices in more natural ways. So, if you've got a tablet and a stylus, and you prefer working with that, now your app supports both input modes. So, people with a keyboard are happy. People with a tablet are happier, I would suggest. So, here's our app. And once that's got through the launch page, and here we are loading our trip in. Go back to Alcatraz. We can actually, let's just clear everything that's on it. Start again, and this time I'm going to use Barry's stylus to say hi. There. Actually, I'm not finding that stylus very helpful at all. Thanks for that, Barry. And then we can hit the Reco, and it will say, it's even, look at that, it even managed to figure out that incredibly bad scrawling actually does say hi there. That is actually pretty awesome. So then you can say accept or cancel. I'm going to say, yeah, I'm good with that. And it's now inserted it back as written text into that text block. And you could improve the UI here. The point is to show you how relatively simple it is to add those kind of features. Good. All right. That was an introduction to inking. Now we're going to move on and look at Cortana and speech commands. So there's a couple of ways that we can make use of speech commands. First of all, we can use voice commands to launch the app in the foreground. So we've already added in a new XML file into this project called voicecommands.xml, which is empty, has nothing in it. So we're now going to add in some definitions into this for voice commands. We're going to create a very simple schema with a voice command that launches the app. So we're going to open voicecommands.xml, and in here, below the declaration, you have to type this in, unfortunately. So you have to go m2 underscore launch command, and then hit tab, and nothing happens. That's weird. Okay, maybe I will suggest that my snippet is missing. So let me just try insert snippet. My XML snippets. M2 underscore launch command. Okay, I must have spelt it wrong or something. Okay, yeah, M2 underscore launch command. Apologies for that. So you can do the right click and insert snippet if you're having trouble like me. This is a simple launch command. First of all, at the top, we declare the app name. It has to be declared, sites to see. And then we have a command called launch app. An example of show me my sites. So you'd say something like, sites to see, show me my sites. Or show me my, and then you have optional one words are in square brackets. You could have show me my selected or chosen. And then this in squigglies, that's a phrase list. So you get a choice of things, sites, sightseeing, sightseeing attractions, sites to see, destination. That's a basic command, different variants that it will recognize that that will allow you to launch the app with a voice command. This is the language is ENUS. If you want to support other languages, then you need to add repeat this command set, but with a different language tag for each of the languages you want to support. So, for example, Germany would be DE-DE. And we're going to now actually add some command in to some code in to handle the both of all, first of all, the registration of this voice command file. So for that, we need to go to app.xaml.cs. So expand app.xaml, app.xaml.cs, open this guy up. And we are going to add into it some code to load that voice command definition file. So we need to go and find the onLaunched method. Here it is. And there's a comment in there where we can type in m2_load_bcd. And what that is doing is getting the voicecommands.xml file, which is the one we were just working on, and then calling voice command definition manager install command definitions from storage file async. So that's just loading it in. So you must run this application once, and it will then load in that voice command definition file. Now, that will enable the Cortana to recognize and start listening for that command. But we also need to handle the activation. So Cortana will try and activate your app. So we need to go down to onActivated. And we've already got something in there for another bit that we'll talk about later on. So in here, we've got an onActivated type for a protocol activation. And we need to add in a voice activation. So if it's an activation kind of voice command, then we're going to call, we're going to get the args and pass them to a method that doesn't exist yet called handle voice command. So we're just going to add that in. If you scroll down a little bit further, immediately underneath the closing of that method, we have m2_handle_voice_command. So this is the method now that will take those voice activation args. It will get the recognized, whatever the text was that has been recognized, write it to the debug window just for debugging. And then if we've got the launch app command name has been recognized, then we navigate to the trip detail page. So we open the app and navigate to the trip detail page. What is this launch app here? Well, if you just go back to the voicecommands.xml, that's the launch is the name of this command that we just defined, launch app. So Cortana will recognize this text and say, oh, okay, that's a launch app command. Then it will activate our app, in theory. So this is where, if you're in a noisy place, you want to put your headset on, and we need to, first of all, we need to build and run the app to register those voice commands. That'll just take a few seconds here, of course. And then we'll need to run it just once, and that will load that voice command definition file in. And once those commands are in, we can then have a play with Cortana and see if we can get it to actually launch. Deploy succeeded. There we go. So we're running it just once. So, you know, obviously your user would install your app from the store and run it just once. That's enough to register that voice command file. Now we can close it again, and then let's see if we can get Cortana to launch it. So I'm going to click on the little remote microphone down here. Sights to see. Show me my sights.
Sure. Opening your Sights to See app.
Awesome. So there you go. That's a simple voice command to launch the app, which you know, it could be useful in certain situations. So there we managed to launch the app with just using a voice command. So that's pretty great. You know, you can also, I was clicking on the microphone symbol there, but you can also configure it to have, hey Cortana. So you can just do it completely hands-free, launch the app and get it out. And you can actually create that voice interaction much deeper into your app as well. Now, in fact, there is another task in this exercise where we do something a bit more interesting, where you can speak to Cortana and have her interact with a background task of your app. And then the background task will do some stuff like find the nearest sites to your current location. And they will report back on the Cortana pane and give you the results and put some UI up on there. I'm going to leave that exercise, that task for you to do on your own. The instructions are all there in the README and obviously all the snippets and everything you need for that. So we're going to move on though. I'm now going to talk about exercise 3, the final bit of this module, where we are going to implement interactive toast notifications. So toast notifications are, of course, a great way for an app to quickly interact with a user, put something up on the screen to give them some information. But with UWP, we've made that much, much richer, and you can create really nice UI in a notification. So we're going to have a little flavor of that now. So to do that, we need to open up site-detail-page.xaml. And we need to find, there's a snippet called m2 underscore date picker we need to add. So let's just do a control F and look for m2 underscore date picker. Here we go. So I'm going to copy that, paste it underneath, and then tab it out. And it's a calendar date picker and a time picker, so a little bit of a toggle switch. So a little bit of formatting, just some UI that in theory allows your user to select a reminder time, a date and time, when they want to go and visit one of these sites. So we've created a class for you. So in the services folder up here, there is a tile in Tiles Notification Service. There is a new class we've already created for you, called Scheduled Notification Service, or Scheduled, as you say over here. And it adds a toast reminder. This one, we're generating raw XML, a site reminder, with it's a toast generic. It's the new lightweight XML way of defining content for a notification in UWP. It's also using, this is C# 6 string parameter attribution here. And so that's kind of a nice way of inserting variables into what is a text. So we're putting in the image path, the visit date, the name, and the site name, the trip name. And then a couple of system commands, snooze and dismiss. It will put snooze and dismiss buttons under it. And we also add a couple more action buttons, view site and remove from plan. And both of these will activate in the foreground. You can also activate your app in the background as well from a toast notification. We're not doing that in this exercise. But then we are using that. That gives us the XML for this scheduled notification service. Then what we're going to do is we need to actually schedule one of these guys. So what we're going to do is go off to, in our view models folder, go to site detail page view model. And what we are going to do is when the user enters a date and time, we're going to add a toast reminder. So we're going to find the M2 scheduled toast snippet where we need to insert that. Here we go. And I'm actually going to call this just for debug purposes, not actually where you might expect when user changes the date and time, but we're going to actually add a value in whenever they add a site to the My Sites collection. So that will generate the site, but at the moment it will do nothing. So when the user clicks on the view site, but we want to actually enable that when the user interacts with our interactive toast to have a deep link activation into our app. So we're going to add the code for that. So we need to go to app.xaml.cs, where all our kind of bootstrap code is. And we have got a placeholder already in our activation list here for the M2 underscore toast activation. So let's put in that one, underscore toast note activation. And this is for a toast activation. There's two cases that our interactive toast will allow. First of all, this view, and the other one was remove from our My Sites list. So that's the logic. Well, that all it will do is navigate to the trip detail page, passing in the trip params, which are we're building just the line above. So we're going to delete site will be true in that one, and otherwise we're just going to view it. And in that page, there's logic to handle that activation with those navigation params. So now we can build and run the app. we are then going to go into a site and we'll add it to my sites collection, which will trigger this scheduled notification service. It's hard coded in this application, demo purposes, just to happen in the next 30 seconds. So we're not sitting around waiting around for things to happen sometime in the distant future. So here's our app. Let's say, okay, I want to go and visit the Coit Tower. So we can go to the My Sites thing. And up here, this is where that logic is that we've just added. We can click that to add it to My Sites. So it'll go back and it's now been added as one of the ones to My Sites. Let's actually close the app and wait for about another 15 seconds or so, and that our notification should pop up. As long as I haven't got notifications turned off. That's always a good one for demos. You can actually put yourself on quiet hours. That means you won't get any notifications. So that's always not a good thing. Am I on quiet hours? No, I'm not. Get rid of these people who want to bite me. Okay, there it was. It didn't come up as a notification, I think, because we're an RDC. It's in our Action Center list, though. So I can click on it there, and it's showing it's launched deep linked into the app. Let's just do another one of those. Let's add the Palace of Fine Arts. Because I want to show you the actual rich UI we get, which if it comes through as a proper notification, but because I'm actually remote desktop through to a machine where we're running this, so we are working under a few constraints here that the normal stuff when you're interacting directly with a PC don't happen quite the way you might expect. So there ought to be, no, it still doesn't come through. Oh, there we go. It actually did come through. So I was talking rubbish. So I don't know why the other one didn't come through. Here we go. So now is our lovely, nice, interactive toast. We got snooze and dismiss options. It's just like a normal reminder. But now if I hit view site, it will launch directly into our app. We're going to deep link into the sites page. We're directly into that site. So we've got a nice example of deep linking into our app. And there, you know, you've got all the normal. There's our UI for setting a reminder, which we've hijacked a little bit, and it's coming up in like 15 seconds, 30 seconds. Right. So that's a quick introduction to do interactive toasts. That's the end of this module 2. So I hope you followed through already on that. If you didn't, obviously all the instructions are up there on GitHub. You can download them. All the source code and run through the instructions there. It's up there. You just view the README in the browser, the main page for each module, and you can follow through those instructions. We're going to take a little break and then come back with the final module of this Build 2016 Code Labs.